Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, well, it seems crazy to even think it, but we're already on episode 55 of the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast, presented by The Sportster and with your host, Jim Parsons. And of course, as we often do, we got Brandon Chircone on the other line. Brandon, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's another day in quarantine. How about you?
Yeah, well, it's definitely a day in quarantine today because it's not very nice weather here where no. I am at. It's raining like crazy, and it was raining yesterday. So other than checking on my property to make sure nothing's flooding, I'm basically staying inside. So it's been
for me, it's the opposite. For me, not nice weather is it's real hot. I hate that. I'm the opposite of most people. For most people, this is beautiful weather. They love it. And for me, this is a day where I would stay inside as often as I can. So this is great.
Hot is good. I don't know. I'll take hot. Yeah, I'll take hot, sure. But anyway, lots of hot wrestling topics to talk about. Ooh, did you like that segue? There you go. Although before we do that, we should probably...
we usually have good segues that immediately get broken down into nothing.
Well, I was going to say we could get into the hot news, and we definitely will do that. But I think it would be remiss of us if we did not at least first acknowledge what happened this week. It's definitely a downer to start things off, but I'm hoping that we can, you know, move past this and go to some more uplifting news afterwards. But we got to talk about Shad Gaspard. His untimely passing this week at the age of 39. He was at the Venice Beach with his son, and there was a riptide that his son got swept into. He went out to try to help him, and things got really out of control. The lifeguards came to save him, but he said, "Save my son instead." So they saved the son first, went back, and he was gone. It was missing for 24 to 48 hours. This was on Sunday. Tuesday, they basically essentially stopped the search. And Wednesday morning, I think it was, that they found his body had washed up on shore. So it was confirmed that Shad Gaspard has passed away, which is a real bummer. Like, the man's going to be remembered as a true hero for doing what I would assume most dads would do. But at the same time, most dads aren't ever going to be in that situation.
Right. No, exactly. Like, you can relate more than I can, obviously, as a father. But, man, like, can you just imagine you're both out there. And, obviously, you know, in this situation, I might not live, but I have to save him first. Like, it's probably not even a second. It's definitely not even a second thought in that situation, right? Like, it's take him. Because in worst case scenario, I can figure out how to survive better than he could anyway. So you're just trying to, like, I guess, play the odds at the very least. But also in your head, you're not thinking about that. You're just thinking, get him to safety. So,
yeah, I mean, well, I know if it were me, I would be immediately scared for what my son would be thinking, right? Yeah. Like, just, you know, he's young and my son's the same age as Shad Gaspard's son is.
Yeah.
And I can't even imagine what would be going through my head at that time. And for him, it was just, you just got to get him. And by the time they got him, it was just too late. And so he's now gone, but he's being remembered fondly by a number of WWE superstars, friends, even past performers in WWE, people sending their condolences, all sorts of stuff. Do you have a moment that you sort of remember from Crime Time or Shad Gaspard or anything that stands out for you that was, you know, kind of either entertaining or touching or memorable from him?
I don't think there's any one moment. I think it's just like he always had a smile on his face in promos, and he was always just super enthusiastic with it. They had a gimmick that obviously I don't think you could do that gimmick today. I don't think it would fly, but man, they ran with it, right? Like, they were so good. They were like the Street Profits of today, where it was just, you know, bigger guy, smaller guy who are just, they're going to be out there. They're going to do their thing. Happy go lucky. We've had teams like that in the past, but Crime Time really, like, I feel like paved the way for these other teams who are just superb entertainers. You know, background promos are great. In-ring wrestling is really good, and just happy to be there, happy to do what they can do. And yeah, Shad was, I mean, that's what Batista, who he mentioned in a video that he posted, he doesn't like to mourn publicly. It's just not how he copes with things, not how he does it. But he still put a video up for Shad, and he was like, this guy was a dream chaser. You know, he was a go-getter. Like, and you could see it when you're watching him. So it's sad, you know, obviously super, super young, way too early. And I don't even know how to put into words. Like, I can't even imagine what his friends and his family are feeling. Yeah. And like his son, like, it's great that his son made it. Thank God his son made it, obviously. But I can't even imagine what his son's thinking, right? Like, how do you even, like, what do you think after that for him? Like, I hope he doesn't, obviously, that's something you can blame yourself for. But it's something that's going to be on your mind. And I hope that he can get past well, that.
I'm sure it's weighing on him, but it'll weigh on him more heavily as he gets older. But it's you brought up a very interesting point in that Crime Time never really got a whole lot done in WWE. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they're vastly underrated for what they set up for people to come after them. You know, yeah. like teams that have taken what they did and sort of ran with the same idea and have accomplished a lot of the things that Crime Time never really did. And because they were released or moved on from WWE kind of quickly after they were there, I mean, they were there a few years, but, you know, afterwards, there's still a lot of people doing what Crime Time started doing, you know, WWE. So they've left a legacy, you know, while they never really accomplished on a tag team gold and things like that, they sure left a legacy behind them. And yeah. one of the things that's going to stand out for me, and it wasn't even as part of his WWE stuff, but do you remember when Kofi won the WWE championship and Shad and MVP are standing in that bar watching WrestleMania, and you just can see it on their faces, just how excited and happy, and they never just jumped up in the air or anything like that, but they were just, you could just see the thrill of Kofi finally doing it, you know, getting that win for the African-American or the Black community and all that kind of stuff. Like, it just really, it was so touching to both of those guys.
100%.
Yeah, that's going to stand out for me.
Like we said, right, like they you paved the way. You're trying to set the tone for others who are coming forward. We saw the same thing with the Women's Revolution. I mean, we saw it with Jinder Mahal when he won the championship, or like the Great Khali when he won. You're trying to set the tone and say, like, hey, this is a multinational company, right? Like, this company is broadcasted across the world with superstars from across the world. So having people that can – I mean, honestly, it's always going to be an uphill battle for people that have to kind of fight – unfortunately, that's a fight for the equality there. And Shad was one of the guys who – I mean, him and JTG, and we've seen it ever since – that it's getting a little bit easier and easier as you go. You'd hope, at least, anyway. It looks like it is. And I would say even for like the tag teams in general, a team like the Fashion Police, right? Like, they got over heavily just from backstage promos. The Iconics, that's backstage promos for a lot of it. Being able to be so good on the microphone and so good in promos and just as a character that you get over, I think that we've seen that like more and more and more since a team like Crime Time came in and was like, hey, this is a good way to get over. So his legacy is even more than we're saying. Like, it's out there.
Yeah, for sure. And you never know. And it's, you can't speculate, I suppose. And there's no point in doing it now, but with all these guys returning, you know, MVP coming back and all this, who knows, right? Like, you never know. Those guys were still in the wrestling industry. They were still showing up in independent. You just never knew if that was going to be something that was in the cards for them or not. But we'll move on, but we'll wish our, you know, thoughts and prayers to Shad Gaspard family, friends, all these people that are touched by, because it's certainly, it's been a hard week. You know, there's been a lot of things going on, and this week, a couple passings, and his definitely the most prominent of them. But a real bummer for wrestling fans and for their family. So we wish them both the best. But we should probably get on to some news and speculation and some talk about other wrestling-related things that are still going on. Our last show, we sort of talked about Money in the Bank. We did some predictions. We've had the pay-per-view since then. My first question for you is, what did you think?
I thought it was a good card. Like, I thought it went pretty well, and I enjoyed it. The Money in the Bank match itself was really fun. Like, really fun. And then the endings sucked. Like, there was, like, no time in the ring at all. It was all built up to just kind of ending it. So I didn't really understand that part from the, from a production standpoint.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in general, like, the matches I liked, they, what did you even have? You had,
what, the actual matches for the thing?
Yeah, so you had, obviously, Jeff Hardy beat Cesaro. Like, that was, like, that was pre-show, though, I believe. That was good. I mean, Jeff Hardy's return, it got, like, him and Cesaro are so talented. And Jeff Hardy looks healthy. I don't know if you feel the same way, but I feel like he looked really slow and hurt like a year ago or however long he's gone.
He's had a few rough years. But he, you know, he looked okay.
The tag team match.
Yeah, that was interesting. There wasn't a ton of matches on here that I was.
There were issues with the tag team match.
Yeah.
Like, super tag issues that weren't done properly. Like, they shouldn't have counted kind of things. So it's kind of weird that they did that. Bobby Lashley, I think he's like maybe the biggest thing coming out of that other than the two Money in the Bank winners. Bobby Lashley's getting pushed to the moon right now.
Yeah, hopefully it's not just for this short term, I'm going to lose to Drew McIntyre situation, which it looks like it probably will be.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, there's lots going on. The Bray Wyatt, Braun Strowman match was interesting. Once we both realized that it was Bray Wyatt and not The Fiend, we both probably were correct to assume that Wyatt had the chance of losing, and he did. He got in more offense than I thought he would, but
and it was a good like storytelling thing too. I think so. Meltzer said he wasn't going to put any ratings out during like the no fan shows, and I think he gave this match a dud, like a 0 stars, and that's crazy to me.
There wasn't anything about this Bray Wyatt Braun Strowman match that I would have been like, wow, this is a fantastic match, but it was good.
Yeah, it was
fun. Pre-recorded.
It
wasn't live. Right. They did the puppet thing. They had the, you know, the black sheep mask on Braun. They told a bit of a storyline. They left it open so that Bray Wyatt could come back as the Fiend and they still could battle again. They didn't take the title away from him. There was a lot of things to like about this match. Was it a, you know, a classic? Of course not. But
no, but
it wasn't a zero.
Yeah, I think it was perfect for what it was. Like, I don't think they could have really done it any differently and made it better. Unless you want to say that, well, they took the title from Braun, which in which case I would still say that's worse. So
yeah. The ladder matches, I was okay. What?
I was going to say, like, because I'm looking at this, the match list. I mean, we're talking about the other matches and how they were fine. Like, it was just good. Like, you know, nothing, like, special. But Drew versus Seth Rollins. My God, man. Yeah. They're so talented.
Yeah, they were going to. They're Drew McIntyre, his ceiling is unbelievable. Like,
yeah.
WWE has got so much that they're going to invest in this guy. And I'd be shocked, like, flat out shocked if this guy loses the title in the next year.
Oh, I agree.
I don't see it. I just don't know who's going to do it. I don't. And like everybody he's coming up against, he's just mowing down. And Seth Rollins got a lot of offense in there, but he wasn't going to win. Right. That was just the deal. Bobby Lashley's going to get a lot of offense in, but he's not going to win.
Yeah.
Right. There's
it's
just good. No.
It's like the Hulk Hogan thing, too. Right.
It
like,
is. You don't it's want exactly to Hulk Hogan. They're booking him just like Hogan.
Yeah. And that's obviously I didn't get to watch Hogan live right in his prime. But, like, you don't want to have a guy look overpowered. You want them to always, because you want the comeback. You want to have the guy look like he's like the underdog sometimes.
Yeah, well, Hogan took an ass whooping in more of his matches than any time he ever got offense. And his offense typically was the very beginning of the match and the very end of the match, and typically lasted no more than a minute. For the rest of his shorter, he just got the crap kicked out of him, right?
Yeah.
McIntyre's a little different in that it's
they
hard
still
to
look
believe
strong.
He's going to get the crap kicked out of him that much.
Hogan that's not the way to do it anymore, right?
No, like, I know. Yeah. But Hogan was gifted. Like Hogan he might not have been the best wrestler, even though he was underrated a little bit, but he was such a good seller and he would sell for guys and anybody you put him in there with, and brand new guys. I remember when the Big Boss Man first showed up, he was immediately thrust in there with Hulk Hogan. I remember when Zeus showed up, he was immediately thrust in there with Hulk Hogan. It was less than a year, then The Undertaker was thrown in there and won off Hulk Hogan. Like he sold for everybody.
Shawn Michaels kind of had the same trajectory too, right? Where it was like, he's good, he has his moves, but he would get beaten in the match, and then he would come back with like a switch in music, right? You get that one big out of nowhere.
Yes, but he was a little different in that he was small, and he was probably the first real small guy in WWE to be the main event guy. You know what I mean? Like he went from being a small guy that would never have gone above the Intercontinental status to all of a sudden a small guy who's the face of the company. It was hard at that time probably to believe that a guy that small was not going to get the crap kicked out of him. Whereas Hogan was never small. The guy was, he was always kind of that
6'6", 280.
He was, like, there were questions when they first chose Hulk Hogan to be the face of the company. Everyone was like, what are you doing? You can't pick that big a guy to be your baby face and have all these heels try to take advantage of it. Because who's going to believe that? But yet Hogan made it work, right? Like it was just one of those things. So Drew McIntyre is different. He's a little bit of like the Hogan. They're booking a lot of the same, but he's so dominant in so many ways that you have to try to make it believable that the other guy has somehow gotten an advantage on you. Yeah, like that's, they need to figure that part out. And when they do figure that part out, his future could be unbelievable. But
with Drew versus Andrade on Raw a few weeks ago, when it was like, well, last time we got in a match, you broke my arm or whatever, and like you won the championship. And Andrade is very clearly a much smaller guy than even Seth Rollins, let alone Drew McIntyre. But you can make a small guy look really good and really talented now. And I think they've done a good job of kind of like, that's one thing to Vince's credit. The world champion, more often than, I mean, I say that even though the last like 10 years, the world champions have been Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns consistently across the board. But No, I mean, you've got a lot of smaller guys like Daniel Bryan, Seth Rollins, AJ Styles. These guys are world champions, right? Consistently. Kofi Kingston for like a year. It wasn't a year. It was almost a year. It was like, what, 8 months? But no, I mean, smaller guys can be the world champions. Even Bray Wyatt, like, he's not like this jacked guy. Braun Strowman is obviously, he's a giant, but he's so much more athletic than any other giant we've ever seen. So I think that's fun that he gets it. But in general, for all of the flack that McMahon gets, the smaller guy definitely has an opportunity to be a world champion now.
Yeah, which is funny when you consider that probably the next guy in line to be a world champion is Otis. he's the Otis opposite versus, of a small guy.
Right now, the four guys feuding for the world championships are Braun Strowman. Otis is like in line because he's the world champion, or like the Money in the Bank holder. Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley, all guys who are absolutely huge.
Well, and that, and you mentioned
back what I said.
you mentioned the ladder match as fun for you. There were certain things I liked about it, certain things I was not a huge fan of. They did a lot more comedy than I thought they would. I was okay with some of it, but I didn't understand some of the other stuff, like why have Brother Love in there, why have his son in there acting like the clown and the janitor. Like, it just so out of left field. And then the other stuff I didn't quite understand, like, they, when they got to the roof, I agree with you, there wasn't much action in the ring, but at the same time, I sort of get that the whole match was built around wrestling inside the offices, so I wasn't expecting there to be a lot of stuff in the ring, but I didn't expect half of the competitors to not be in the ring.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean? Like, on the women's side, three of the six women weren't even up there. They never made it to the roof.
Yeah, well, so there was like, that up and almost won it immediately. Like, Baron Corbin ran up and it's like, no, for some reason.
Yeah, they're fighting each other over separate briefcases, whatever. And like the throwing off the roof, we had anticipated there might be some sort of stunt, and they, why even do that? You know what I mean? Like, they didn't actually do the thing they teased. They just said they threw them onto a lower tiered roof, but why even do that other than to maybe remove them from the equation of the match? But then they were fine the next night, and then they took out Rey Mysterio. Like, it was just a weird sort of thing. But yeah, I was okay with it. Like, I liked it for what it was, and I liked it. It was different because it would have been really weird inside the empty arena. So the office stuff was cool. Too much comedy for me, but some of the comedy worked. Like, the McMahon stuff was pretty funny.
That was so good, man. Yeah. Well, you were such a coward back there. What? You're the one that said we should put the chairs back. Yeah, I did, didn't I?
Yeah.
And then it just hits him. Like, I will, or say
that
he's
hand sanitizing himself right after they walk out of the street. Like, just
that was good.
Stuff like that.
You had the
food
the
fight seemed
head.
A little. Yeah, I got to see the dinosaur. The food fight seemed a little, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Too obvious to me, too blatant, you know. Paul,
yeah,
Heyman,
it's just one of those things where they like look at it and then walk away from it. Like, you're like, oh, are we doing it? No, we're not doing it.
Yeah. I'm sure the competitors had fun with it, though.
Oh, I'm sure it was a lot of fun to do. But I mean, it is what it is. We've had that spot a billion times. I'm genuinely shocked, that Aleister Black didn't win it. That just seems like the perfect guy to do it. Like, you're, I mean, obviously Otis is over more than anything. Like,
well,
2020
Vince,
sucks,
Vince,
but Otis is having the best
2020
of his life. Like, no one's had a better year. No one's thought, like, everyone thinks 2020 sucks except for Otis. Everyone else is in the same, on the same page. And he's like, what are you talking about, guys? This year rocks.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, he's going to get his for sure. Like, Aleister Black is going to be a massive star, but they're really slow playing it. But he did an interview just before Money in the Bank aired where he talked about how slowly they're moving with him and how sometimes it's a little frustrating, but he gets where they're doing it. So after I heard that interview, I'm like, oh, he's probably not going to win. But you know, the Otis stuff seems like it's just too obvious to me. Like, McMahon is too into him right now.
And he deserves it. Like, Otis is,
well, he's funny and he's talented and all that stuff. The question though now is, and he's been talking about it a lot in interviews, what's he going to do with the briefcase? If he stays with Tucker and tries to win the tag team titles, what an extreme waste.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
if
but
that's
can
your,
you, isn't it
if that's your plan
title?
To make the tag team titles relevant again, it isn't going to work.
But it's supposed to be for a world title. Like, I don't get.
Well, it's
I guess
supposed to be for
any
title at any time,
yeah.
Right? So he could team for. Well, why would you do that? You've spent. You're Vince McMahon. You hate tag team wrestling. Everybody knows it. And you're going to use the briefcase, which is supposed to be this huge, huge advantage, to win titles that no one seems to care about that much.
Yeah.
Right? Like, their thought is they're like an afterthought for most people, right? Like, there was a time that they were super important and the best match on the card was often a tag match and sometimes still is, but they don't think about it that way. And so why would you have that? And Heavy Machinery, unless you're going to stop pushing Otis when all this is over and put them back in the tag team again, probably doesn't have a very long future. You know, they did until Otis became Otis and was really popular. And now all of a sudden he's, you know, Vince's golden boy. But I just can't imagine why you would want to use it on the tag titles. But that's what he keeps talking about, that he and Tucker are going to go off the tag championships with it. But I'm going to guess it's more of a setup than anything else. Right? Yeah. Otis, Tucker eventually splitting and Tucker being mad at him.
Well, are they going to make Otis a heel out of all this somehow? Like,
no, they'll make Tucker the heel.
Are you sure? Because it seems like they're going to, it's going to be like, oh, well, everyone expects this, so we're going to go the other direction for no reason whatsoever.
Well, maybe, but look how hesitant WWE is to take these golden boys that Vince loves so much and make them heels. Like, he refuses to do it with Roman Reigns. He wouldn't do it with John Cena. He's not doing it with Otis.
He's had it with Seth Rollins 3 times.
Yeah, but Seth Rollins is different. Everyone turned on Seth Rollins, including Vince. You know what I mean? Like, not because Seth Rollins necessarily deserved it, but because people just turned on him for being the new chosen one. Otis is a chosen one for a completely different reason. Nobody thinks he's that great a wrestler, right? Like, he's just a big guy who everybody thinks is kind of funny. So how do you boo him? I suppose if you just give him everything in the world immediately, which they're teasing maybe doing, but I don't know. I don't see it. I just don't see the play unless you really have that faith that Otis can flip on a dime and go from this character to this character and make you believe it, right? Like a Daniel Bryan can.
Right.
Like that guy can, doesn't matter what he's doing. R-Truth is the same way. You can love that guy, and then you could be scared of that guy, right? Does Otis have that quality? If Otis has that quality, maybe. If he doesn't, he's that lovable teddy bear that people will get sick of eventually.
Yeah, I don't know. Otis doesn't seem like a world champion to me. That's why I know the XFL just folded and everything. They definitely took a shot at the NFL with that, right? Like, at the end, it's like, Otis has possession of the briefcase, and that's why he won it. Like, AJ Styles never had full possession. That's just an NFL with the cash rule. Like, that's all that is. In my mind, they're just taking a dig at the NFL.
Could be. You're thinking awfully deeply into it, but who knows?
I don't know. Like, it immediately popped up for me. Like, the way they phrased it, too, and I was like, that's weird. There's no reason for it.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. It definitely could be. Especially with news that Vince might be the creditor wants to buy the XFL back again. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so the last thing we should talk about with Money in the Bank and related to the next night on Raw and probably maybe the biggest news of the year. Yeah,
the only news that actually matters out of this.
Yeah, is that Asuka didn't win an opportunity. She won the title because Becky Lynch is going to be a mother. That's huge. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to ask you this question. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but because it's been talked about so much, where do you fall on this timing for Becky Lynch having a baby and being gone from WWE? What looks like at least a year to maybe 15 months, maybe longer if she decides that she doesn't want to come back. Where do you fall on all of this?
Well, one, I think it's weird that there's a few things. I've got a few things to say. One, she was definitely wrestling while pregnant, including Mania.
I've heard different stories on this. I've heard people say that she was, but you got to remember WrestleMania was pre-taped quite a ways.
Fair. That is fair, actually. Aired,
right? Fair. So
but
it was
then, like,
And yeah. She discovered she was pregnant around that time, but her match had already possibly been filmed.
Okay.
So I don't
know either.
Well, here's the thing that I don't quite understand. Some of these reports that I've read about the fact that she wrestled pregnant, blah, 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 blah. In the same report, they're saying it could explain why her match wasn't that physical.
Yeah, but then how...
What a stupid piece of crap line is that?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, right? If you know she's pregnant, one, she ain't wrestling. Two, you're not going to just hold back on the physicality. Say, you're having a baby? Ah, crap. Well, can you go in there and not do much?
Yeah, like do a
what
slow
kind of
back
stupid
body drop?
Logic is that? Whoever wrote that should be ashamed of themselves. They're an idiot. Like, they wrote that article and said, oh, she was wrestling pregnant. It could explain why she didn't do a whole lot in that match. What are you smoking? Like, there's no way that they knew she was wrestling pregnant and said, oh, hey, well, just don't do as much. That's insane. That's an insane thing to think. It's just stupid. Right?
So that's one thing that I was like, she probably was, or whether she knew or she didn't know, and I don't know, the pre-taping could come into it. I don't know. Regardless, that's weird, right? Like, on the surface.
It just, I can't even imagine. It makes no sense in the world to know that you're pregnant and say, yeah, go wrestle anyway.
Yeah, and that's her and Seth Rollins both would be like, hey, it's fine. Like, what are you talking about? What are we doing here?
Well, and this is the same WrestleMania card that Roman Reigns backed out of just minutes before.
Yeah.
And it's the same one that the guy had the flu, so they took him off the card. It's the same, like, there's no reason. She wasn't even in a main match. She was in a championship match, and she ended up winning the title, but it wasn't anywhere near the main event.
It was a pretty big match just because, I guess, Shayna is obviously the up-and-comer, right?
Yeah.
But I think that it's weird in the sense that if you knew that she was, like, giving up the title the next night, or, like, I guess that she gave it up already and the match was for the title, then why not let Asuka win? Or why not let Baszler win? Why not put Asuka against Becky at Mania and then have Baszler have the Money in the Bank, and then she can try and, like, she has a year to now, like, fight for it and compete for the title, or, like, build up to eventually compete for it. And also, like we said before, the pay-per-view, Shayna would be perfect to have the briefcase because she can brutalize people with the briefcase, right?
Yeah.
So that alone's weird to me. I feel like they could have definitely, like, done this differently than just giving the briefcase to Asuka and saying, hey, actually, open it up. By the way, you haven't opened it up in 24 hours.
I believe, based on the promo that Becky Lynch cut on Raw, when she said she's going to take the bull by the horns and challenge whoever wins Money in the Bank, I don't think at that time she even knew. Because that promo doesn't make sense. Right? If she didn't just say, I'm going to confront, which is what they promoed on Raw after Money in the Bank, that Becky Lynch would confront the winner of Money in the Bank. She said, I'm going to challenge the winner of Money in the Bank. Yeah. So at that time, you're not talking about wrestling somebody if you know you're pregnant.
Sure. Because then you're like, well, the next night it's already obsolete.
Right. So, and that was taped too. That promo was pre-taped too. That wasn't a live Raw. So I'm guessing.
How far ahead are they taping for Raw?
Well, there was a schedule there for a while where they were doing live taped. Then 2 weeks would go live taped. Then 2 weeks would live taped. Right. So they were basically shooting two Raws in a row. Whatever. Yeah. Because they wanted live stuff and they wanted to tape so they didn't have to bring people back. And I'm assuming partially because, like, a 14-day quarantine kind of deal or whatever it was they were doing, they had this pretty hectic live tape schedule going on.
So the one after Money in the Bank was
as far as I'm aware. I can't guarantee it, but I'd have to go back and look. And I think the dates, if you were to look it up, is probably how that would fall.
Right.
But the key is, for me, she came out and challenged whoever was going to win that thing. And I can't imagine that they knew at that time that she wasn't going to be available. Right? Like, why would you do that?
But that's crazy to not know. I guess, it's not an exact...
Well, like, she took the test 3 times. Because the first 2 times it was false positives. Like, she didn't know.
Oh, okay.
Right? So then she's like, I had to take another one and get a different test, and that's when I found out. So, I mean, there's a lot... You got to remember, there's a ton of time between when they tape the stuff, when she's going home, and her and Rollins are hanging out and just together as a family, that this call could have fallen down. So for somebody to be like... I'm not saying that I know for sure. I certainly don't. But for somebody to write a report and say, oh, it guarantees because when her due date is in December, oh my God, she was wrestling, go 9 months, she was wrestling pregnant at WrestleMania. She might have been, maybe. But I'm saying if she was, no one knew, right?
Okay,
like, and if she was, she was like a couple weeks along, maybe. And there are people, I'm not saying it's a great idea, but there are fitness models and there are athletes and stuff who play sports all the way up to a certain level of their pregnancies.
Yeah.
And they exercise like crazy and they do all sorts of stuff, much of which you might be like, whoa, that's a little whatever. Now, taking bumps in a ring and wrestling may be a different story. But at that point, she's like barely pregnant if she's pregnant, right? So it's like to make a huge thing out of this is probably not. Mm-hmm.
I just find it weird.
It is a little strange. The timing might be a little funky. But
when you said timing, that's the first thing I thought.
Right. But my suggestion is I just can't even envision a situation where you've got this many people looking at it going, yeah, we'll be fine. Let's just do it anyway. Like, you got Lynch, he's like, no, I don't want to do this. I'm pregnant. Seth Rollins like, no, you're not going to do this. You're not going to wrestle with my pregnant child in your belly. And then there's WWE, who's let a lot of people out of that card, who are like saying all the right things right now. Like, yeah, we're super happy for her. We're really grateful, even though it isn't the best timing in the world to, you know, say, yeah, absolutely. Like, we're 100% behind you. Like, you wouldn't have her wrestle in a match that really didn't matter. You know, it just doesn't make sense to me. Like, I just can't see that many people making that bad a decision. You know, just if you knew, right? Where I was more going with you is like, I don't know if you've heard Jim Cornette's comments and stuff like that. And that guy's an ass clown too. But like, he's just like, I can't believe, and I will give him like 2% credit here, because we're all thinking it a little, is that this is really wacky timing if you're Becky Lynch and where your career is at and how you basically just put it on hold for a year and a half at what might be the worst time to put your career on hold for a year and a half. Like, so there is some of that to it. But what Jim Cornette did was go way beyond and over the line. And it's like, oh, she's going to have mood swings and hormones and stretch marks and all this. Like, can you have just decided, I'm going to think career first and then I'm going to have my baby later because I could do this anytime in the next however many years, make my millions of dollars, do what I want to do, which is wrestle, and then I'll have a baby when I'm done with that. It's like, well, one, we're assuming she planned this.
Yeah, maybe. Well, also she said she she's at a weird time of her life, which, I mean, there's certain, I mean,
well, you can't control Rollins everything. He's like, look, in 3 or 4 years, it's a little more risky for women to have a baby at that age. Right? And
she's 33, right?
She, 30, yeah, something like that. But, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I don't necessarily think they planned this. Like, I think the reaction from her at Raw was kind of like, I'm really excited that I'm going to be a mother, and I'm super upset that I got to leave.
Oh, yeah, right? She loves the industry. She loves being a champion.
And I would assume that anybody on top like she was is probably going, I got to ride this out as long as I can. But because it's not going to last forever, right? We've already seen that her popularity has faded a little bit, right? Even within 1 year. She's not wasn't as popular as she was at that time.
And, but that was also like lightning in a bottle. You can't recreate that.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, you got to take advantage of the lightning in a bottle when you can. But at the same time,
to their credit.
Yeah. But you can't turn around and go, well, let's just shun this woman for having a baby.
No.
You know,
I mean, that's ridiculous to me.
It's stupid.
Like, that's not even a discussion. It is, unfortunately, but it isn't. Like, it shouldn't be.
There's going to be a lot of people backstage going, oh, crap. Right? Like, we know it. It's got to be on the minds of people. It's probably on the minds of Becky Lynch. It's probably on the mind of Seth Rollins. It's probably on the mind of a lot of people going, oh, geez. But then you get, okay, well, this is really good. Like, you think about it for a second and you go, man, if only we'd done this a year later or 3 years ago or whatever. But then you get over that feeling really quickly. You forget about the fact that it costs you a lot of money and you go, this is exciting. Like, this is really cool. I'm going to be a mom. We're going to have a family. One of our own is going to become like, you got to be excited for Becky Lynch. You can't do what Jim Cornette did and trash somebody for making a choice to be a mom.
Right. He just, it's whatever you can say. But I think Jim Cornette truly believes everything he says. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah. He's a little strange in that I think there's an element of him that will say whatever he can say to stay in the news and have people talking about him, good or bad. But like you said, I think a lot of this stuff, he can't get out of his own way. Like, he's so old school stuck on what wrestling used to be and refuses to believe that it has changed, that he just says the dumbest stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's a total misogynist. He's a total arrogant pig. Like, the guy, and he fights with everyone. Now, some of the people he picks fights with kind of have it coming, but at the same time, he takes it so over the top that it's hard to side with him.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, even if you're right, you're wrong because you're such a jerk.
Yeah,
right? It's amazing.
Argue. Like, Seth Rollins and Will Ospreay, like, I don't care who was right or who was wrong what they were saying. As soon as Seth Rollins pulled out the paycheck thing, you're like, well, how can I agree with you now? Like, you go one comment too far, and it's like, well, now I can't take your side. No matter what I wanted to do, there's certain things that can be said. And Jim Cornette, like, it's like he leads with those arguments.
Yeah, that's just the baseline for where he's starting, right?
Yeah, like, exactly.
It's only getting worse from here. Right.
Yeah, it's, yeah, I mean, it's... Becky Lynch, I would say this isn't the worst timing. I would say last year would have been the worst timing.
Yes.
This is maybe the second worst timing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, who cares? I don't even think, like, the timing doesn't bother me. I think that it is what it is. We've seen injuries step in. So if we're going to be, like, obviously injuries or, like, suspensions, those matter. You can say, like, well, that's just bad timing. This is good news. Like, through and through, I think this is good news.
Well, and who are we kidding, right? Like, Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch have both made a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Seth Rollins is still going to make a lot of money. Becky Lynch will still make some money, even though she's not wrestling. Like, they're milking this thing like crazy. They've already shown two different music montages. They're going to book this whole...
Plus demand. The shirts, the mom.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, all that, it ain't going away.
And we had a pregnant man on Raw. Like, when have we ever had that before?
Yeah, so they're going to do whatever they can to try to get what they can out of this, and she'll probably come back. Right? Yeah. Like, there are mothers that wrestle in WWE.
Her and Ronda, mother versus mother. Ronda versus Becky, too.
Well, that's interesting, too, right? Like, talk about that side story. You know, Ronda Rousey takes off after WrestleMania 35 to go start a family. Travis Brown, from what we know, she hasn't had any luck doing that yet. Mm-hmm. And Becky Lynch probably wasn't even thinking about doing it and is pregnant all of a sudden. And these two main event people who had this massive feud for WrestleMania 35, one who leaves for one reason, but the one who now has to leave for the same reason the one who tried to leave in the first place. Like, and now there's potentially talk that maybe Rousey might consider coming back part-time. So it's really interesting circle. Like, it's quite the story. When it's almost like you can't write this stuff for wrestling.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, they didn't. Yeah. They didn't write this stuff.
Could you imagine if they had?
Maybe they did. Maybe this is all fake.
Yeah, it's all work.
It's definitely,
like,
not
a pandemic. It's a whole conspiracy theory.
Yeah, oh, no kidding.
Okay,
that's good for WWE.
What's that?
That's good for WWE, I think.
Yes, we should probably get into Double or Nothing, which is what we had initially said we were going to talk about mostly.
Yeah.
So, do you have the card in front of you?
I do.
Okay, so where do you want to start? You want to start with some of the lower key matches and work our way up?
Sure.
Most recent match, I think, obviously, that just got booked was Shawn Spears and Dustin Rhodes, right?
Yeah, which right now is currently being listed 9th on the card, which means it's main event. I don't think the card... Yeah, well, actually, never mind. Now that I say that, they have a pre-show match listed as 7th. So this might be, like, order of matches... Actually, yeah, it's probably order of matches, like, as of when they were announced. That's probably what they did. I don't think they're listing in an order they think it's going to be. Because they had, like I said, Dustin Rhodes versus Spears 9th, and they have, like, the world title match 3rd.
Well, that was literally booked on Wednesday. Like, that was booked on Dynamite. He comes out and he does the Shawn Spears news, mm-hmm. and he says, oh, Dustin Rhodes is retired, which I'm like, interesting, because I hadn't heard that. And then you realize it's work, and he's like, well, I'm just going to take matters in my own hands. I'm going to challenge Dustin Rhodes. And then right after the segment is done, Jim Ross, of all people, books the match.
Which is just so classic WWE.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even a thing that anybody in AEW did. Let's just book it, he says. So it's Dustin Rhodes and Shawn Spears. So that was the latest that I had heard, other than, like, participants for the ladder match, you know, sort of getting confirmed. But that was the latest match. Mm-hmm.
Shawn Spears is so hot right now. Like, they're doing such a good job of building him into, like, the perfect mid-card talent.
Well, and it's been interesting because they sort of forgot about him. Like, he came on, he did his stuff with Cody,
the chair shot,
stuff, and then he sort of went away.
Yeah. Well, maybe that was the wrestling school more than anything. Maybe they took the time for that. Maybe they were slow building it. I think AEW does a good job at kind of slow building certain things, right? They don't just throw everything at the wall. They kind of take their time with stuff. And now, I mean, they're building a few stars there. Like, you see Goldust versus Ty Dillinger, do you really care? But you see Dustin Rhodes versus Shawn Spears.
Well, I suppose it really depends. It really depends. Like, if you ask me that question and you say, well, right now they're building Ty Dillinger to be a big deal and Goldust is getting a push he's never gotten in a few years, I might be excited about that match.
Well, I'm saying it's just in general. Like, when you're looking at the way this match is on a WWE card, which it could have happened at any time in their 10 years with the company, and I wouldn't have, like, been as excited for the match. I'm not, like, overly excited about this match. Like, I'm not saying, like, I'm, like, you know, jumping through hoops to watch it, but I'm saying that I'm looking forward to it, and I think it'll be a good physical match.
Yeah.
Dustin Rhodes right now is obviously...
Well, I'm interested to see who wins, only because I'd like to see where it goes after that, right? Like, mm-hmm. Dustin Rhodes is on maybe his last legs. he's probably moving towards the tag division, if anything, because he's got his new, what are they calling his group? American Nightmares or something Nightmares with him and Cody's buddy. And then they've got, you know, Ty Dillinger, Sean Spears slash blah, 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 who they should be pushing. And they brought him in to be kind of a big deal and said, you know, without using as many words, we're going to turn this guy into a star. You guys didn't do it. And they haven't. So it should, for me, Ty Dillinger, or I keep saying Ty Dillinger, now
Sean,
you mentioned
yeah, sorry.
Sean Spears should be the easy win here.
Well, right? let's do this properly. Goldust, Ty Dillinger, Dean Ambrose, Chris Jericho is the same. I was going by the WWE names.
Le Champion.
Le Champion, who's not Le Champion. yeah, I think they're doing a... Yeah, they, like you said, they haven't quite built him into the star yet, but I think we're heading in that direction. So, moving forward with this is crucial to kind of continuing that. And obviously, they can... AEW does what WWE doesn't do very often, and they make guys look really, really, really good in the loss. Like, very often, a guy can look really good in the loss in AEW.
Well, and it's funny, because sometimes they make guys look not so good in the win.
Yeah.
Like Kenny Omega, fair. Some Kenny jobber Omega's kicked out to his thing. Right? Kenny like, Omega, what the hell is
so,
that?
I don't know what's... Because they're booking matches. Like, Kenny Omega's part of the team that's booking it, right? Why does Kenny Omega look so not Kenny Omega-like in AEW? Yeah, maybe it's because it's weekly?
I don't know, but he's been on such a downhill since he joined.
But, like, he's winning it. Like, his record's good.
No, I know, but just the perception of his character and his ability in the ring as a wrestler, like, it has been the opposite of what it should have been. He should have been the face of AEW, and maybe in that Chris Jericho, John Moxley conversation. Like, there should have been no doubt.
When the AEW started, Kenny Omega was the hottest wrestler on the planet. He still is the best wrestler in the world, in my opinion. Like, if I were to think of, like, my top four.
Well, that's the thing. What I'm saying is, from what they've done with him in AEW and what he's essentially done to himself, he's not even in the conversation for me anymore.
Well, I would say that that's fair. I don't think that... I think that you have to look at what he's capable of. So I would say that you have him, you have AJ Styles, you have Okada, and you have, like, Will Ospreay, or, like, in my opinion, the clear-cut top four. And I guess... I don't really want to... I don't know. I guess Daniel Bryan can probably be thrown into the mix for top five, right? Because he's still incredible as far as, like, in-ring work, and his mics are better than ever. So I think you have a top five right there, but, like, at the same time, which of those guys is being pushed like a world, like, champion right now?
Yeah, there are two matches where Kenny Omega has kept himself in the conversation. One, the Jon Moxley unsanctioned match, and two, the tag match where they won against the Young Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
That match was unreal, right?
Yeah, because they can still do it.
Yeah, those two matches were basically... Anything, the only stuff that I've really enjoyed from him since he came over. The rest of the stuff, I'm like, man, they really are not doing anything with him. Like, it just seems like he's a
filler. Well, him in the tag team division is so weird. I think they're really slow playing him. Like, he'll get his due, but they're really slow playing it.
Yeah. He could be one of those, you know, things where they said to themselves, well, we can't just keep winning all the time because it's our company. Right? Like, he's considered one of the four or five guys who started this whole thing, and if you keep winning, then it doesn't look so good.
Well, it's
right?
WCW.
yeah,
it's
maybe
WCW,
that's what they're worried
except
about.
You guys are actually the ones in charge.
Yeah, but they've just taken it too far, I think. Anyway, okay, so go through the matches. So we've picked. I'm picking Sean Spears. You picking Sean Spears?
I'm picking Sean Spears, but I think both look really good. Like, but in a win or lose, I think they both look good in the match. I think it's gonna be really physical, 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 physical. That's all it is.
I'm up for that. Okay, what's the next one?
We got Private Party versus Best Friends for the number one contenders for the tag team championships.
That's a tough one because they haven't done much with Private Party lately. They've been AEW Dark.
Yeah, Private Party is one of the most impressive tag teams in the world.
And
that
somehow the Best Friends are the number two ranked tag team in their division.
They're definitely just like a meme group. That's real. I mean, they're really talented, but in WWE they would just be a side talent thing, and Private Party would be pushed more, I think. Oh, yeah. To be fair, it's a tag team division, so who knows how WWE would push it.
I could see Private Party winning here to give them a little boost and to knock, you know, the Best Friends down a peg because they're so highly ranked on the tag team scale.
So, yeah, you've got to kind of balance
it. I'm going to go with Private Party.
That's fair. I think I'm still leaning towards Best Friends winning it.
I also don't know that Orange Cassidy is going to get necessarily involved with this because he's on the card later.
Yeah. Like,
let me be clear. I want Private Party to win, but I think Best Friends take it.
Yeah, it's possible for sure.
What else do we have? We have Britt Baker versus Chris Statlander. Statlander is so good, and obviously Baker is my favorite, like one of the like top five favorites in AEW.
Well, Baker's not even wrestling now, from what I understand.
Really?
She got hurt on Dynamite and tore her ACL.
Oh, did she? I didn't see that.
Well, that's the report. Now, It may not be accurate because the latest that I saw on AEW's Twitter account was that they're still promoting that match.
Yeah, but
she got Nyla Rose dropped on her on Wednesday, right?
Yeah, that'll hurt.
She takes herself out of the match and never came back.
Yeah, you're up for like 7-8 months at that point.
That's what they're saying, 6 to 9 months.
You want to talk about also, that's so crazy to me that I've never had any, like, knock on wood, like never had any kind of like injury like that. But watching sports, like you can kind of learn timelines of injuries, I guess. Yeah. Also, there's different severities that matter and the way things are done and whatever. But a torn ACL, yeah, you're talking about Becky Lynch timeline out. And that's bad timing because I think Britt Baker, actually, you know what? Well, I think it sucks that Britt Baker, because Baker and Statlander could have probably been like match of the night potentially. I think that would have been my choice for match of the night. Actually, looking at the card, that's definitely my choice for match of the night, other than maybe the tag. Yeah, no. I've gone back 3 or 4 times. 100% that would have been match of the night, in my opinion.
You're welcome to it. I don't agree with you. But, but I can understand. If you like them and they would have a good match.
Now you have a chance to bring her back.
On here that's really going to be good.
There's nothing better in wrestling than a huge return or a huge debut. Mostly a huge return, right? So this could really set Britt Baker, because she wasn't being pushed for the title, really. In this situation,
she's been pretty prominent on their television shows lately, though, because she's one of the handful of people that have showed up at all these empty arena matches, right?
Yeah.
So she's been like Sean Spears. She's been on the program way more than she ever was because AEW was down so many talents and people who couldn't travel or wouldn't come and all this other stuff. She's been one of the 20 that's been on every episode, right?
But if you want to really push her, getting that pop after could be the way to do it.
Yeah.
Still, it sucks.
So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with this match. Who's going to wrestle? If Baker's going to try to give it a go,
maybe she is fine, right? Like maybe like the report isn't right. If it is, it's really unfortunate. But there is a silver lining. If we have to pick these two against each other, I don't know. I actually don't know who I'd pick here. I was thinking Statlander might take it.
Yeah, I would have probably picked Baker just because I think they see a higher ceiling for her, and they brought her in. I think, what was she, the first ever signing for AEW? Like, maybe the first ever?
I think she might have been. Yeah, I can't remember if she was number one, but she was definitely, like, first three at the very least. But I think she was the number one.
Yeah.
Well, so it's hard to say that because, like, first signing, but we already knew, like, Cody and the Young Bucks. But I guess you're talking about outside of, like, the main group.
Yeah. No, but I want to say that I'd have to look it up. But I want to say she was the very first official signing for AEW. Other than the executives that Tony Khan hired, like you said, but the first talent hired by them. Yeah. Okay, so we don't know who's going to take her place if anybody's out. But I'm just checking to see if she's still. There was lots of injuries on Dynamite. Matt Jackson was hurt. Ray Phoenix was hurt. But hers sounds to be the most serious, from what I understand.
Yeah, I mean, torn ACL is no joke, and also, your ACL is like forever weakened from that, right? Like, you could not be at 100%. You're still only at like 90%, 95%, whatever it is after that. But I guess that's just the risk they take when they get into this industry, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's still, from what I can see right now, it still seems to be, there's mixed reports on it. So maybe she's a go, who knows? Okay. So if she's a go, I'm picking Baker. And you're picking Statlander, right?
Yeah. But I wouldn't be surprised if Baker won. Like I said, she's like one of my favorite talents in wrestling right now.
Yeah. All right. Who else you got?
I guess we can go right into Nyla Rose versus Shida, Hikaru Shida.
Man,
it's
they're
no
pushing
DQ match.
Yeah, they're pushing Shida pretty hard. Like, I don't know that you would take the title off Nyla Rose yet, but you know, Hikaru Shida is really getting a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm. This is another like hard-hitting match too.
Yeah,
no disqualification and no countout, so they're really gonna go like the full nine with this one.
Yeah, I'll go with Shida just because she's the underdog, maybe, even though she isn't technically been booked that way. Like, she's beaten the crap out of everybody, but she hasn't faced Rose yet, so it's at least not in a singles match.
I think Nyla Rose wins it.
Yeah. It's hard to say that you could take it off of Nyla Rose, but at the same time, Nyla Rose did lose the first finals match to someone much smaller than Sheeta. So
yeah,
you never know, right?
Man, they're doing such a good job with these cards where you're like, who's going to win it? We don't really know, like, off the top of our head, who definitely takes it. And in WWE, like, so often you're like, well, it's pretty obvious this guy's going to win, right?
Yeah.
So I
well, and there's even though they've been circling around a lot of people in AEW, there's been no feel yet of too much repetitive matches. There's been a few matches that have happened a couple times now, but you know, they haven't done it on a pay-per-view where they said, oh, yeah, this guy already wrestled this guy. Like, they keep dancing around similar people, but they've never just thrown it back in your face twice. So that's it's been good that way. Okay. So I'll go with Sheeta. You're going with Nyla Rose.
Yeah. Well, we've been pretty, like, different other than the first match we listed. That's good.
Yeah.
It's good that we have different opinions of it. What else we have? We have MJF versus Jungle Boy.
MJF.
Yeah, shocker. I'm going to go with Jungle Boy. No, I'm going MJF.
I think Jungle Boy's got a good future. They seem to really like him. But MJF, they can't drop the ball on this guy. He is their secret weapon, if you want to put it that way. Like, he is their star. Of all the people on their roster, to me, he is their top heel in the making. So he might not be yet, but he will be. When all this is said and over and done, he will be their top heel. And you'd be crazy to ruin that momentum, as much as I like Jungle Boy, to have Jungle Boy beat him now. Unless there's a plan that MJF has said, look, I can make way more out of me losing than I ever will if I win. So have me lose and I'll run with this. That'd be the only way that Jungle Boy wins here, is that MJF has a plan for having lost that match and just loses his mind. Right, and makes it really entertaining. So there's like a 5% chance for me that Jungle Boy wins, but I'm going MJF.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't even have, it's 100% MJF. Unless okay. Like someone interferes, like, I mean, it's MJF. You can't, like you said, you can't drop the ball with this guy.
Yeah, he's a star already. Just lots of people don't know about it yet.
We have the Casino Battle Royale match. The typical one that we've had every year now, with like, or every like so often, where they have the casino theme, and we had last year the Battle
Except
Royale.
Except that it's not a Battle Royale. Although, which is very interesting, because they're going to have a Battle Royale on Wednesday.
Okay.
So AEW is doing a Battle Royale, and they're going to have, I guess the winner is going to be the number one contender or something. So they're doing a Battle Royale in this empty arena environment with limitations on how many people can be, whatever. They're doing a Battle Royal, which WWE would probably never do right now. But they changed the Casino Battle Royal to a Casino Ladder Match. I was a little surprised by that. Right? It was kind of strange. To see that they were going to be doing a Battle Royal next week was interesting.
I like the ladder match idea better.
Well, and it's going to be really interesting, because this whole idea of the chip throws a huge wrinkle into it. So basically, you can grab this casino chip, but you can do it in the first two people. So we don't even know if all nine people are going to be in the match. Like,
yeah,
it could be the first two people could be, you know, Kazarian and Darby Allin wins the whole thing. And no one else comes out. Like, that's how they've got this set up. So it's kind of strange. Like,
maybe that goes sour
on them, because you have to know that all nine guys are going to get in the ring. But maybe it adds a very cool element where you're like, what's going to happen here? Like, I don't know which way I'm leaning on that one yet, but I do like the field. I think there's a lot of really cool guys in here. I'm interested to see who the mystery person's going to be, if we're going to be super excited who it is, or we're going to be totally let down by it.
Well, I mean, I'll say this. The card right now has Darby Allin, Colt Cabana, Orange Cassidy, Rey Fénix, Scorpio Sky, Kip Sabian, Frankie Kazarian, Luchasaurus, Drew Gulak.
Where you see the card says Drew Gulak. Where do you see that?
Right at the end. It's the Wikipedia card.
Oh, well, that may or may not mean anything.
I don't think it means. I was like, am I missing something? I've been looking it up for like 3 minutes now. Like,
well, he's definitely not announced. He's
no, and I mean,
officially confirmed for AEW.
I don't even know if he's done with WWE officially. Like, I know he's
his contract's over.
But like, is he officially like leaving, or is that like something where they gotta bring him back? Like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Basically, it's the initial reports were that he was released, and everybody was like, "What? Why would you do that?"
Right after his match with Daniel Bryan, which is a masterpiece.
Right, and then the news, and without throwing a single punch, by the way. Yeah. Did you notice that? There was not a single strike in that entire match.
Which is that's so like classic for these guys. And no missed spots. Like, it was
crazy.
So good.
Especially if right after that, that you would release the guy. So then when it came out, his contract was expiring. They were working on a deal. He wanted a raise because everybody up until the pandemic has gotten a raise. And he was like, well, that sucks. I'm not just not getting my raise because of this pandemic thing. Everybody got it. I should get it too. And they said, no, because we're not giving anyone raises right now. That they just said, okay, fine. You want to play hardball? We'll pull the offer that we were going to give you and we'll let you sit. And then you can squirm. And they probably figured, well, screw it. He's not going to AEW. Maybe he does. Maybe that backfires. Maybe they're just waiting, right? That Gulak will take a little time off. He'll come back when the pandemic stuff is over and WWE's spending money again. So it's definitely not necessarily over. It'll be up to Gulak to decide what he wants to do because he has no 90-to-compete clause. His contract just expired like Matt Hardy's did.
Yeah.
So he can show up whenever he wants. But does he want to leave, right? Like, he's got really good friends in Daniel Bryan there. He's got, you know, he's on the up in WWE. So you'd
think. Yeah, they're using him. Like, that's
the thing. So would he want to go? That's the question, right? Would AEW like to have him? Sure. But
Gulak's one of those guys where I feel like he's going to be used more in WWE than he would be in AEW. And that's a rare thing.
I agree. Most everybody's like, oh, yeah, take Gulak to AEW. And I'm like, why would you do that? Like, I like Gulak a lot, but I think he's built this little thing in WWE that nobody else has done. Him and Daniel Bryan, like, they have this little niche that they've found that they're completely unique. WWE is seeing it. They're letting him run with it. They're having some creative freedom, which I think is what he wants. And AEW is going to get their hands on a bunch, a handful of people in about 45 days. So of all the people you could pick, are you picking Drew Gulak over those people today, knowing that you can't sign maybe a Rusev or, Matt Cardona or whomever in 45 to 50 days?
And also, right? We don't want all these guys going to AEW because then it becomes the same thing as WWE. You can only use so many people.
Right. And for anybody who thinks that the mystery person in this match is going to be one of those guys, like EC3, it's not. They can't show up yet. Right. So unless somebody's willing to just screw the 90-day non-compete clause and let WWE take them to court over it, which they probably would win if they did. I mean, the person, not WWE, because really, how do you, can't really adhere to that. You know, they're subcontractors. You cannot really win that in court. If somebody wanted to fight it like Brock Lesnar did way back in the day, the wrestler's going to win. But WWE will take you to court, and they'll spend the money to do it. So most people are just like, whatever, I'll do my 90 days, and I'll show up somewhere.
Yeah, so it's almost cheaper to wait the 90 days.
It's possible to do it, but no one's going to do it. So these guys aren't coming. There's not going to be Rusev. There's not going to be any of these people in that match. But it could be Gulak, and it could be someone like Sting, who's not I don't know why Sting would be, unless he just shows up in the dark at top of the ladder, blah, 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 blah. But he's not wrestling. You know what I mean? Like,
Sting's going to win the match, confirmed.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But it also could be Pac. It could be Brian Cage, the guy from Impact, huge dude from the title holder there. Who knows, right? Like,
it's going to be Austin Aries.
Yeah, well, hopefully not. I can't stand that guy.
I don't like Austin Aries. I think he got a really bad rap for what he was.
I think he deserves it. That's why I don't like him. Okay. I think that guy is an arrogant son of a bitch. Like, that dude is the most cocky. There's a difference between confident and arrogant like him. And I've just seen some of his stuff in the indies and his just trashing the ring setups and the promotions. And he thinks he's entitled to everything everywhere he goes. He's a lot. And I don't know either one personally, but just from the outside, he's a little bit like Leo Rush in that way. You know what I mean? Like, the guy has this amazing knack to screw everything up that he's been given.
It's not showing up if you can back it up, Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, but Dolph Ziggler still has a job. Right? Like, Dolph Ziggler, for all the crap he's talked, is still employed. He understands when to stop, right? Like, he's like, okay, I'm going to complain a little bit. I think I deserve more, but I'm not going to just completely step on the hand that feeds me. Whereas Leo Rush and Austin Aries have no boundary. They will absolutely go way too far and get fired from every good job they've ever had because they don't know when to shut up.
But I think a lot of that isn't as true as it's portrayed to be. Like, I've heard interviews with Austin Aries with, like, Chris Van Vliet. I've heard, like, Frank Mir talk about it as well. And he doesn't seem to be quite the guy that they're portrayed as. That being said, there are enough stories where I think you can kind of put two and two together.
Well, yeah. And like I said, I don't know anybody, so maybe it's not fair for me to comment. But at the same time, from the things that I see, anybody can come across as nice in an interview. But there's got to be a reason.
Oh, I don't think it came across
keep losing their jobs.
I just think a lot of the details that were in, that were mentioned were false.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be Magnus for sure.
Yeah, we'll see, right? Like,
no, he's not leaving NWA.
Yeah, well, they say there was rumors that, you know, AEW had signed him a while ago. Yeah. So we'll see if that turns out to be true or not.
Based off the current card, I don't see it going any other way than Darby Allin winning.
I don't know. There's a lot of, like, there's a lot of people in this match that I'm like, they're not going to win.
Like Orange Cassidy,
Colt Cabana. Orange Cassidy could. Like, it just depends on what they've determined.
You think Orange Cassidy's going to win it?
Well, it all depends on when, like we've talked about already, how slow they want to play this thing. Like,
no, but I don't ever want him to be the world champion. Like, that's where we...
I think the right play for Orange Cassidy is to at some point make him the champion when no one sees it coming. And if you win a match like this...
That's a mistake.
Well, I think his super stardom is that he's the guy you love to cheer for. You don't necessarily expect big things of.
Yeah,
right?
Otis.
Yeah, or like Mickey Whipwreck back in the ECW days.
Okay.
Right? Like, no one thought that dude was ever going to do anything. Spike Dudley, right? Spike like, Dudley, these guys are guys who you love, but you don't expect. So when Rockstar they win, Spud. When they win, it's huge. Like, it's just a mass, but you can't have them win it if you see it coming. So you can't have, like, Orange Cassidy to get this chip, have this ability to cash in for this thing, and then win at that point. Because then everybody's kind of like, okay, well, they set this up for the underdog to win, and now you're not really into it, right? Yeah. So if Orange Cassidy does eventually win this thing, it's going to be like when Mick Foley wins the title and WCW says, oh, that'll put butts in the seats. Like, no one saw that coming.
Yeah.
That's what made it so cool, right? Like, so Orange Cassidy's that guy to me. If they're ever going to do it with him, and I think that they probably will, based on things I've heard Cody Rhodes say about him, they have it in the plans. I just don't think it's yet. So I agree with you. I don't think he's going to win this yet. I do think he will at some point be that guy before it's not cool to like him anymore. Right. But I don't know. But Darby Allin could be a pick. I think they
like Kip Sabian. I think Kip Sabian's fun.
Even Luchasaurus, I think, could, because he's big and maybe he gets a shot at. I don't know. Kip maybe Sabian, I don't know that they've. It's tough because all these guys are sort of uneven. Like, Darby Allin's probably the star of the group.
Maybe I'm just really biased, but Darby Allin is just next level, so good for me.
Yeah. Well, and he's going to do something crazy.
Oh, yeah. I am scared for his life.
Yeah.
And, like, well, not like a Jeff Hardy way. Like, he's going to actually kill himself in the ring.
Yeah, hopefully not.
I mean,
we
I
always
I
said that about Jeff Hardy, and Jeff Hardy has seemed to escape most injuries.
Yeah, so. But Jeff Hardy didn't do quite the same stuff. Jeff Hardy did crazy heights and things, and I'm a huge Jeff Hardy fan. I don't know if we've talked about that on the podcast, but Jeff Hardy's he's been my favorite my whole life. Yeah, love Jeff Hardy. But he's what Dolph Ziggler should be for me. Like, in my when I talk about Dolph Ziggler, it should be Jeff Hardy. Yeah, I know I know I have a lot of favorites, but there's some guys that are just my guys. Like, it's sports, you know.
The mystery man, whoever it is, could win this thing.
Maybe. Yeah.
That's the reality here. Like, it's so even. It's so even across the thing that whoever the mystery man could win it. Okay. We talked about that one a lot. Let's move on. The one match that I could give two snots about is John Moxley
and Brody Lee.
I don't care.
I tried to top it with you, so it didn't we didn't rehearse that. I also don't care about that. John Moxley is going to
win. They have done such a.
I don't care about John Moxley.
I have not. I didn't love him as Dean Ambrose. I liked the Shield a lot, but I didn't love Dean Ambrose.
He was always the weakest part of the Shield.
Yeah, I do not like John Moxley in AEW so far. I don't know what it is. I watch him walk around the ring with his little strut and his shoulder. He's always looking like he's and there's
he's still
something.
Dean Ambrose.
He's so over the top, accentuates everything. I remember his middle rope clothesline. I hated it. All that stuff drives me crazy. And Brody Lee, they've dropped the ball so badly on him since he came over that these two right now, I understand why Moxie's a champion. I understand why when he came in, it was a huge deal. He's a big star. Chris Jericho, Moxley, there's your two first champions. I get all that. I don't even have a hard thing to say about AEW for doing that, right?
Yeah.
I totally understand why they did it. That said, I just don't like anything Moxley's done so far, except the match with Kenny Omega.
It kind of bores me.
The unsanctioned match with Kenny Omega was entertaining. Yeah. But Brody Lee's
he also
been
had that good one against what's his name? The other unsanctioned match, Joey Janela.
Yeah, that was good. And like, that's where he thrives, right? But,
yeah.
But Brody Lee's been a disaster since he showed
not
up.
Not his fault. I think that's just booking, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But then again, how much is booking and how much is just like at some point you've got to push
through? They don't have bookers, right? Like they've said it a number of times that AEW doesn't have bookers.
No, but the people that are still like kind of like pushing the storyline and like pushing it, there's still people like that are helping out with the
sure. Like when Brody design. Lee came in and he was determined or he was, you know, pegged to be the leader of the Dark Order.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody wrote that for him, said, here's what we want to do with you, here's what we're thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
Take it in whatever direction you want to take it, but this is what we're doing. So it's a combination of dropping the ball. But yeah, I get where you're going. Like somebody pitched the idea to him and he was supposed to run with it, and now his match with John Moxley will be the two of them getting together and saying, okay, here's how we're going to get to this point. You know, what do you want to do? Right.
But like, this should be a huge match, but
it could be a very entertaining match. Yeah, it might actually be an interesting match. I just don't care to watch it. At this point, I'm kind of like, I hope it's okay, you know, but I have no, it doesn't sell me on the pay-per-view at all. Like there's nothing about this match that I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get Double or Nothing for this match. It's the one match I don't care to see. Right. I'm just like, eh, you know, I felt like you talk about feeling like they haven't done things before. I feel like I've seen this already.
Yeah,
right.
That's fair.
With the Wyatt family versus the Shield and stuff, like this just feels repetitive to me. And they haven't done anything interesting with these two guys yet.
But do you want to talk about the exact opposite then and say that like while they've kind of dropped the ball with both these, I don't think they dropped the ball with Moxley. I think his style just doesn't mesh for me.
Yeah.
I would say that Cody, who is obviously like man, that guy is a megastar, and Lance Archer, like that's you're talking about. This is the way to build a star. Like they're building Lance Archer up the way WWE never could, it seems.
Okay, well let me ask you this then. I agree with you, but what if Lance Archer doesn't win?
I don't think he does win.
So you still think that building him up to get to this point, having him destroy everybody, but not win the TNT Championship and give Cody the executive director or executive vice president the title?
I don't think we can look at them as the executives too often, because like Cody's also not ever able to compete for the world championship, and I think the only reason I think that Cody wins is because this title it seems pegged for him, right? Like it gives him something of relevance because he's great and he's been winning, but he also hasn't been over the top winning, and he hasn't like at first it seemed like he was the only one of the executives to really get that major push, but I don't think that's the case right now. I think he's the real mastermind behind this company. And I think that they're doing a really good job with it.
So what happens to Lance Archer when he loses?
Again, I think you can look good in a loss. So I think that you move forward with that or you let him continue dominating. I'm not saying he never wins a title. Maybe he does win the championship. But I guess to answer your question, I don't think he needs to win the championship to still look good and be booked well.
Well, no, the only reason I say that, I don't disagree with you, but the only reason I say it is because you started this conversation when you said, this is the way you build a star. So you bring him in, he dominates, he works his way up the ladder, he gets to that point. But what you're saying is, with all that going on, he just doesn't get the whole thing.
Which I guess is a very WWE thing.
Well, that's what my concern is, right? Okay, if everybody agrees with you that this is the way you build a star, and from what I read, most people do agree with you, that this is how you do it, okay, but he's not going to win. We're going to build him, and then he loses. Do you forget about him at that point? Do you say, okay, yeah, you're this monster that nobody can beat, but the first real big match you had against the guy you really wanted to fight before you even debuted, you lost. Mm-hmm. Like, that's my concern, right? Like, how Lance Archer called out, Jake Roberts called out Cody Rhodes on behalf of Lance Archer before he showed up. Like, this was the match he said he wanted, and Cody Rhodes is like, no, you haven't deserved it. But now he's deserved it because he's fought his way through this tournament, and he's there. And this is what he wanted from day one. So the one guy he wanted to call out, he's going to lose to?
That's
what I don't get, right?
So like,
I'm picking Lance Archer. Yeah. I pick Lance Archer because I fear for what would happen if he doesn't win. I also don't know. I can understand how people would look past Cody Rhodes winning, but I do think that there's some element of them thinking, if we give this to Cody Rhodes, first ever TNT title holder, and he's an executive vice president, because they've proven that they don't necessarily like to do that. They haven't done it with Kenny Omega. They haven't done it with the Young Bucks necessarily. Like, the Young Bucks haven't held the AEW Tag Team Championships yet.
Yeah, they've held other championships, but not like the from other
companies. That's what they are, though. That's what they are. They are meant to be the AEW Tag Team Champions.
Like, I agree.
They're the ones that want to build this huge tag team division. They're the ones that should be the stars of their tag team division, yet they've yet to hold the title. I mean, so, you know,
well,
SoCal guys want them, right? Like,
yeah, but look at, like, the, if you look at the card, like, the entire, not the card, but, like, the entire roster, the perfect world champion is Kenny Omega, right? The perfect TV champion is probably Cody. And the perfect tag team champions are the Young Bucks. But you can't just do that.
That's what I'm saying. That's where I'm, that's exactly what I'm saying. Right?
It's almost like the, it sucks that they're the executives, and, like, even if they aren't actually the executives, right? Let's say that's not real, they're not executive vice presidents, they're still, you still know they're in charge, right? Like, obviously, the Click, and, like, you go to WCW, Hulk Hogan and Nash and Hall, they didn't have, like, I mean, maybe their contracts, they were crazy, but they weren't considered, like, executive vice presidents of the company.
Yeah.
But they, I think, were
that
still...
was their biggest mistake, is making these guys the EVPs.
But, like, I don't think it, I think
publicly
it is.
Publicly saying sense. They all were.
That's the right? issue. Publicly yeah. saying it and doing it. That being said, you almost, you can't hide it. So there's no right way to do it. And I don't think they've done poorly. I think the worst thing for these guys is them not, is them publicly being known as the world, like, as the executive vice presidents.
Yeah, that's all.
But for the company, I think it's good that we know and that they're clear and they've done it perfectly and they haven't pushed them to the moon. Like we said, there's still guys that, like, Adam Page, we think he's going to eventually get pushed to the moon and he's going to be their world champion. MJF is the perfect heel. He's going to be there. Cody, Lance Archer, Darby Allin, they've got a lot of really talented people on this yeah. roster who haven't
I'll
even
I'll give them full props yet. For things that they've done. I just think they're cutting off their own nose to spite their own face, you know, because, like, they sure. got this title that has hindered them from doing stuff. Like, there's no way that Cody Rhodes takes himself out of ever being the world title holder unless he's known as the EVP. He doesn't yeah. do that.
I don't know, like, is that going to be, like, a heel turn where he's like, yeah, I'm actually, I'm part of, like, the ownership group here?
Eventually, probably.
I'm allowed to, or I don't know what they're going to do. Maybe Tony Khan's like, forget that. Or maybe Chris Jericho turns face at some point. I don't think that's going to happen. Chris Jericho loves being a heel. Yeah. Chris Jericho's also the most face heel since, like, Steve Austin. So,
yeah, that's true.
It's funny.
So, I'm picking Archer, you're picking Cody?
I don't
have
know.
Have I changed your
Cody.
Mind?
Well, I mean, I think you might have
swayed you.
I think you might have, but I don't know that I was, like, definitively on either side. But I think you're swaying me more to saying that Archer has to win it to really. Just honestly, the only thing that you said that convinced me is, like, the whole call out angle. I yeah. forgot that was part of Jake Roberts' thing, and, like, Cody saying, "Hey, like, I'm not wrestling this guy." Like, he went on Twitter. He's like, "I'm not wrestling this guy."
Well, some of the promo didn't make sense because he's like, "I want a piece of Cody's pie." Well. I don't get that reference because,
yeah,
is Lance Archer's not going to get a part of AEW unless they're going to wrestle again for his stake. You know, that would be
stupid. That's too early.
Yeah, yeah, but that's not that might be down the road if they ever were to even try to pull something like that. But
but if you kayfabe that, you can do it like with Vince McMahon and, like, Ric Flair, where the, like, because Lindo got, like, the 50% of the company, whatever, blah blah blah. Yeah. You could then work it so that, like, this is how they lose the EVP title, even though there's still EVPs behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's, I mean, there you go. Hey, AEW, hire us.
All right, last match. Let's get into the Stadium Stampede match. One, I got to give them a nod to the ode to the, Hart family, Calgary Stampede Wrestling from way back in the day. As
so
anybody
many of the veterans. Yeah, so
well, who anybody
who
knows,
like,
Chris Jericho's history with Stampede Wrestling is vast. Like, well, he trained in the dungeon with the hearts. He watched.
He didn't really train in the dungeon with the hearts.
Well, he did. He was one of the. He and Lance Storm were a couple of the guys that graduated from there, right?
Yeah, but they only ever met, like, it was like Keith Hart or something. They never actually met, like, Stu or Brett or any of, like, the. It was, like, a really weird thing.
Sure, but you can't be a wrestler from Western Canada, which is essentially what Jericho is.
Yeah.
And not know Stampede Wrestling and not know the legendary Hart family.
Oh, I agree with the Stampede stuff. Yeah. Like, that's where he grew up on. Like, he grew up watching, like, old school WWE in, like, New York with, like, his grandmother and his dad and everything. And his dad obviously was a famous hockey player. So yeah. He grew up watching it, like, that stuff. But the Hart thing, the Hart Dungeon is a little different than people like to proclaim it as. Same for Lance Storm. Chris Benoit, I think, legitimately was in there. Also, we have to. It's going to just be a big blank spot when I said that name.
Dark Side of the Ring already did that for us.
That's fair. But yeah. No, I mean, My point is that
I wouldn't have ever expected that the Stadium Stampede would be a name they'd go with, and it's a clear reference to his days being a huge fan of Stampede Wrestling. So. They've got that there. It's this in this big football empty arena, which basically means it's all hell's going to break loose. We saw the one episode where they were running over people with the golf cart. You know, it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be much in the way, could be like the Money in the Bank headquarters match.
Yeah.
Could be quite different than that. I don't know what's going to happen here. All I know is it's going to turn into a disaster. Like, it's a disaster in a good or a bad way. Just total chaotic mess.
Wow. Right? That, I mean, that's how you know it's going to be chaotic, because we went to the exact same word at the exact same time.
Yeah, so it should be very interesting. And I think if Sting is part of this, this is the match he's part of.
I would agree.
He'll be in the stands, in the stadium, somewhere. Right? Like, that's his deal. He's not going to wrestle, but to show up in an empty arena somewhere in a football stands way up high in the bleacher section, like, can't you see that?
Yeah.
I totally could see that. Right? As a strange way to close the chaotic mess that this match will be, just Sting overlooking everybody. Like,
I don't think it's early on. I think it's like at the very end.
Yeah. It'll be what closes the pay-per-view.
Yes. I agree.
If they do it. Right.
Yeah.
But I don't even know who to pick as a winner. I would say it's probably the Elite. There's also a really good element here that somebody's going to turn on somebody.
Like Adam Page turning on Kenny Omega finally?
Yeah. Yeah. Or Young Bucks having some issues. Now, Matt Jackson may or may not be hurt. We don't know yet. Matt Hardy is multiple personalities. Who knows what this guy's going to do? But I think there's stuff that they're going to do with this Adam Page thing. So that could end up costing them the match. But the Inner Circle can kind of lose and it doesn't really matter.
I agree. I don't think Inner Circle needs to win. I don't think either side needs to win, which is nice. It's kind of the thing where you can just go with the best match and go from there.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll pick, just for the sake of whatever, I'll pick the Elite, just because something might happen there. But I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't really care, Elite, to be honest. I'm looking forward to the mess.
Yeah, I agree. It doesn't matter to me who wins. Win or lose, it's going to be fun. You think it's going to be fun. It should be.
Yeah, it should be good. I'm going to look forward to watching it. We'll talk about it next time we do the podcast together. We'll probably have much more in the way of news and information for both WWE and AEW. But we'll call it there, because we've been almost an hour 20, which is good. Lots more than I thought we'd get out of it. So we'll just remind people they can listen to the podcast, Apple Play or Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Podbean, Stitcher,
WrestlingWriteUps.com,
Sportster.com, the Facebook page. Wherever you want to get your podcast, please go listen to it, download it, subscribe to it, share it with people, rate it on Apple Podcasts, because that
really helps. And then share it again.
Yeah, give us a 5-star, because that helps a lot. Okay, well, we'll enjoy the pay-per-view on Saturday if you get to watch it on Saturday, and if not, whatever you watch later. And appreciate you taking some time, and we'll chat again in a week and a half or so, and we'll go over the pay-per-view.
Sounds great.
Talk to you later, bud.